Production. Recorded live.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 29 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, November 14th, 2008. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, and joining me as my co-host from the wonderful British Columbia, Canada, is Keith Murray. Keith,
Hi,
we're yet at the end of another week.
We are, once again, at the end of another week, and got another feed full of chock full of WordPress news.
Are you glad that it's TGIF?
Absolutely. It's been a fun week.
Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah, I mean, busy. I've been a busy blogger this week.
Yeah, I noticed that. I've been a negligent blogger again. It's been a rough few months, actually, for the blog. The poor blog hasn't got quite the amount of attention I wanted to give it, but nonetheless.
All right, and everything going well for you at work and life? You live up in Canada. You guys already had your Thanksgiving, correct?
We have had our Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Ours is in October.
Man, that's early. Ours is coming up in another about 2 or 3 weeks, so.
Ours isn't really part of the whole Christmas thing, though. Like, yours, Thanksgiving in the States is sort of like the kickoff to the Christmas season.
Yep, it always starts the day after Christmas, Black Friday. Although, not to get off on a tangent, though, but from what I've read in the news, it might not be so black this year.
Mm, that's true.
But, hey, if anybody listening to the show tonight would like to participate, give us your opinion on any of the news stories we're talking about, you can give us a call by dialing 724-444-7444. The TalkCast ID number is 34224. And once you're down in, press star 8, and that'll let us know you want to join in on the conversation. As always, this show is brought to you by the advertisers on WebLawToolsCollection.com. Without their continued support, this show would not be possible. Now, if you're interested in advertising on WordPress Weekly, that's this very podcast, which is downloaded by thousands of people every week, you can contact me at wpweekly@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the information you need in order to set up some advertising here on the show. With that, boy, we can launch right into this week's stories. And the first story we want to talk about this week is something called Project Icon. Project Icon is pretty much, let's see here, well, about a couple weeks ago, a week or two ago, a post went out on the dev blog asking for people to come up with ideas to develop a set of icons for the new back end of WordPress. And I think that was over the course of a week that people had in order to develop the icons. And as it turns out, there were over a dozen icon designers from around the world who responded. And so rather than choose just one, Jane and the team decided that turn the icon design assignment into a contest so that more people could participate and the community could have a vote in what the new icons should look like. However, once word got out that they were going to turn this into a contest format, about half of the original volunteers changed their minds. So the remaining designers kind of chipped in there, and I think there was 5 or 6 different icon sets to choose from, I believe. There is an icon survey that is available. This post went out on Thursday. Voting will remain open for 48 hours from the time of that post to allow people from all time zones a chance to participate before the survey is closed and a decision is made, since, of course, the new icons that are chosen within that survey will be included in Beta 3. Keith, did you have a chance to check out the icon survey? What did you anything that popped out at you that you'd like to see included in the Beta 3?
In fact, I did, and to be totally honest, I've never really given a whole lot of thought to, you know, the icons themselves until I went through the survey and started really taking a look at all the different details and stuff that are in there. Actually, it looks like the survey is now closed too. But the stuff that I noticed, I think, was there are certain types of icons and certain icons in the list that were really representative of, you know, what they were supposed to show. And it really sort of showed how not everyone thinks alike. There were some pretty diverse icons for things like the dashboard, things like the appearance tab. There were a lot of icons that were not really all that similar. And then one like the link tab was pretty much everything was a two interconnecting rings or
chain links
of one sort or another, in different orientations and styles, but they were pretty much chains of some kind or another, two links of a chain. So I found that one pretty interesting, because that's actually when I think back to even the early days of website development, when I was playing with some of the early HTML editors, the link button was always chain links. Or an A with an underline. It's in blue, but usually a chain.
Yeah. I'm in the survey right now. The survey's still open. I'm checking out one of the pages.
I clicked on
they got one,
and it said
two.
Survey completed.
Well, it worked just for me right now.
Maybe it just closed. I just opened it like as I started talking. So
I see each six icon sets, and it was interesting that some people took a different approach. Some people tried to make it consistent across the board with which icons they were using, and not to play favorites, but I'm going to go out and say that I voted for the I think it was the LS icon set, and I was particularly interested in the dashboard icon because I always think about it, and it's kind of a hard thing to represent in the form of a picture. But I figured the half circle with a tachometer, that to me kind of represents the dashboard best. I mean, because when I look at that, I think of the dashboard of a car.
Yeah, and that could be what it is. I think the one I voted for was the DS set. I think LS was my second choice. And I just finding out now that it's actually because I took the survey in this browser, and that's why I can't look at it again.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it was interesting to note that in the terms of this survey, the survey gives you, first it asks you, when you go through each icon set, it gives you an explanation of what the designer says, what their goals were, and how they created the icon set and the ideas behind it. Then it gives you judges' responses, and those judges were Matt Mulloway, Jane Wells, Matt Thomas, and a few other people involved in the process. Then a question says, how do you think the icon set would work as a whole within WordPress? And it gives you a couple answers. And then the survey goes on to give you a chance to rate individual icons within that set, and you can judge on whether or not how good they fit into the actual design. So, I mean, this is a pretty intricate survey in which I bet in the end result, people, the judges will be able to take in a lot of the feedback and get hard data points to look at and say, well, a lot of people like this icon in this set, but a lot of people like this icon in that set. Maybe in the end we'll have a bunch of mixed icons all thrown together into one set.
Yeah, it could be. And there were certainly in every set there were some that I liked. There were some. There was a couple of sets I think that I liked a lot of them, and it really seemed to vary. The designs really seemed to vary, and some of the some of them had very hard lines. Some of them had very very soft lines. Some of them there were sets that were sort of all tinted blue. The other ones were all tinted gray. For the most part, they stuck to the blue and gray theme that was in the WordPress admin panel. It'd be really interesting to see whether this thing goes through as a single set, or whether it's a mix of different options.
So Jane here, she's joining us in the chat room, and she's kind of giving us some pointers here with regards to this news post, and she says that they will post all of these sets again when announcing the winner tomorrow. So I guess the winner of the survey will be presented tomorrow in a blog post with a picture of all the different icon sets. Now, there's a tidbit here that I thought was interesting. I didn't know this, but on one of the last pages within the survey, there is an option here for tools, and you can pick which icon best represents tools from the icon sets, and it says, to avoid confusion with movable type mark, we will not use a wrench icon to represent the tools menu. If a set using a wrench icon is chosen as the winner, the designer will replace this icon. That's just one of those tidbits I didn't know about. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm not being a movable type user, that's not something I would have considered, but I think it is important to maintain some distinction even in the backend admin panels between the platforms and make sure that, you know, WordPress does its own styling and it has its own brand. So that's a good choice, I think.
Let's see here. I know we have Andrew Rickman on the line over from across the pond. Andrew, did you take the icon survey or not?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you try and give us, I know we're spending a lot of time on this topic, but we got time here tonight. So just kind of give us your thoughts on the icons you saw, and did you see anything you liked?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was the last set. I think it was the VS set. There was a set that was, there was a gray version and a blue version of the same set that I quite liked. But again, I think like you, there was icons I liked from some sets, but I would have preferred them in the style of the others. So I think, when you look at it, maybe, some icons, but in different styles will probably be the end result, I would have thought.
Yeah, I just find it interesting that if you take things down to their basic level in 2.7, you're going to have the ability to maximize the sign menu and shrink it down to where all you see is the icons. So it's the icons at this stage of the game become really important in terms of identifying a menu at just a glance instead of having use complicated icons that don't really show the meaning of what it's there for.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting actually looking at the different kind of metaphors that everyone was using. In some cases with the plugins, you've got an electric plug. Sometimes you've got a jigsaw puzzle piece. And I mean, they're all kind of identifiable, and I guess you'll get used to them easily enough. But one thing I thought was quite interesting was that all of the electric plug metaphors were all two-pin plugs rather than three-pin plugs that we use over here.
Yeah, well, we use three-pin plugs, and a third pin is generally used as a grounding wire. So I don't know. I don't know if there's
That's
any
actually a good point.
difference there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think about the only place I've seen only two-prong plugs is Asia, where they sort of have the two widely spaced round plugs, or is that Europe? I can't remember. We have a lot of three-prong plugs in North America, though, so.
Well, I think we've spent too much
think
time
it's
on this
just.
topic if we start talking about prongs and plugs in different countries.
This is true. I mean, it's one thing to talk about plugins, but.
Well, we got Mark on the line. Mark, are you there?
Yeah.
Did you happen to take the icon survey yet?
I did.
Okay, tell us your thoughts.
I like the I was surprised to see the grayscale and black line drawings. I thought there might have been some color introduced there somewhere, so I was kind of taken aback by that. But overall, I like the I believe it was the LS set of icons. They're a little bit three-dimensional and have
Yeah,
shading in
yeah.
them and stuff like that. I thought that those probably looked the best, and my second choice was I'm trying to remember the two-letter acronym there. Unfortunately, I can't go back in my browser
Yeah,
here. Well,
it's either
maybe. Yeah, I
it's either
can.
VS, BD, GB1, or GB2, or LS, or OSD.
Let me go back one more and see if I can find it. I can't. But it was one of the. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I actually liked LS and VS. I thought they were pretty nice.
All
It'd
right.
be, I don't know why they didn't choose to put any color in there, but.
Well, I think the color wasn't put in there so they can see how it looks and, just kind of a flat base there. And I think the final product design will actually have color in them.
Yeah, that's what
I
James was
think
saying
for
to
the.
Trevor, that they
Yeah,
were
I
kept
think most of this
grayscale
was.
so that people, yeah, they were kept in grayscale so people would focus on the form and the metaphor involved in the
Metaphor.
icon as opposed to the question
Well, do you guys know
for
if
the
these are
color.
going to be pluggable? Like, can I just unzip my own set of icons, and as long as they have the right file name and they're in the right place, they'll show up?
Should do because I believe the icons are just GIFs that are stored in the WordPress images folder. I'm trying to remember exactly where they are. But
well, we've got Jane Wells in the chat room. She says she's not sure about
the one thing that. Yeah, she's not sure about it. I think the reason for that is if you do a WordPress upgrade, you would probably blow away the ones that you've installed, and you'd have to put them back manually.
Right. So that's what I was wondering.
The only,
if there were,
yeah, the only
there
files
were
that I think
portable.
Are. Yeah, the only files that I think are really covered by the sort of pluggability thing is plugins and themes. Anything beyond that is basically a hack.
Mm.
But it can be done without too much difficulty. You just have to re-unzip the files.
Yeah.
I would imagine that it's probably, you know, just as easy as figuring out in your FTP, you know, finding the folder that the images are there, rename the images you want to replace with your image pack, and just overwrite them. Of course, like what Keith said, every time you upgrade, though, you might just overwrite your changes with the default icons again.
Yeah. Well, providing a default set is certainly important. I think it'd be really cool, though, if it were just pluggable to the point where you could actually just download it. You don't lose them in an upgrade, in other words. They just stay there. And one thing
James
I'm really curious about... go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, James actually indicating in the chat that if you had a plugin that provided you with another admin theme, you could attach icons to that. So it looks like it might be possible to do it through a plugin.
Well, speaking of plugins and icons, one of the questions I had about this whole redesign and looking at the icon sets and just taking 2.7 Beta 2 for a whirl was, you know, I write a lot of plugins, so the first thing that came to mind is how I noticed that some of my plugins show up in the admin panel like they should, and they have a default icon, and I was wondering if there's a hook where I could define my own, but I think that's getting a little off topic, but just to give you an idea of what's going through my mind with the new design and the icons and stuff.
I think this issue was brought up on the WP Hackers mailing list, and I can't remember off the top of my head if there's a piece of code example given. There might have been. The only thing I could suggest is take a look through
there. There is a hook.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, there's a hook for plugin.
Got to find that hook.
Got to find the hook and
reel
it in.
Jane's saying there's a hook,
I got to go hunting now.
Well, only on this show, everybody, will you hear tons of discussion around little images. But, you know, these images are important, you know, in the back end, in the UI.
Kyle's asking if anybody else liked the chameleon. I didn't, myself. I liked the idea of the chameleon, but I don't know that it'll be, I don't know that everybody would get it. It was clever. It was very clever, though. That is true. One of the appearance, one of the icons had the appearance icon.
Oh, you know, I know what you're talking about now. When I first saw that icon, I thought it was a fish, and I didn't understand why there was a fish there. And one of the judges I remember in the survey said it was kind of a weird metaphor, but they
esoteric,
yeah,
a little esoteric.
Yeah, I'm like, what's a fish doing there? And then it took me a while, and I was looking at it, and I finally realized what it was. But
I think the eyeball makes the most sense for appearance.
Well, then again, I thought the icon which shows
the
computer
grid.
Monitor with the grid on it, where you can move widgets and blocks around. I thought that kind of summed up, you know, the appearance part of the dashboard.
It shows you everybody's brains wired differently.
I see this, but this guy over here, he sees this, and we're looking at the same picture. But that's everything. Jane Wells said that the winners of the survey will be announced tomorrow, and the rest of the icon packs will be published tomorrow. And what's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Saturday. So I'm guessing that since they're going to be in Beta 3, that either Beta 3 will be released tomorrow or probably on Sunday. That's what I'm thinking. Let's see here.
Since we're just quickly mentioning the Beta 3 thing, I think that throws my prediction of an earlier release out the window.
Yes! I'm still going with December 1st, man.
Yeah, I should have stuck with it because I said December 1st. I said,
well, I took it, man. I took it.
Beta 3's coming out tomorrow, and the icons will not be in it.
That's
so there you go.
Oh, okay, because they're going to revise some of them. Okay. So
it'll probably be an RC1, would be my guess.
Oh, and then Jane also mentioned that at the bottom of the post here that, you know, they're approaching Beta 3, and Beta 3 is going to be launched tomorrow, but bug tickets continue to be added to the track because of the pain of making things look good. And guess what? IE6 continues to be felt, and the need to improve accessibility looms. I imagine, you know, with the UI design and the CSS tweaks and getting things to look right across all the major browsers, is probably a real pain in the rear.
Usually is.
Even if you're doing like a website design, it could be a pain in the rear. Just think about a UI design. But we're going to move on here. And hey, the newest acquired company from Automattic, Intense Debate, has announced that they have reopened their doors. Since joining Automattic, they've been hard at work scaling their infrastructure and preparing Intense Debate to deliver supercharged comments across the web. They also, with this announcement of reopening their doors, have also released a WordPress beta plugin. The beta plugin is available for download, and it is the collaborative effort between both the Intense Debate crew and the Crowd Favorite team. And anybody who has been part of the show for a while now knows that Crowd Favorite is Alex King's company. I believe I got that right. Is that right, Keith?
That's correct.
Okay. So what is this plugin all about? Well, you can do two-way comment sync between your WordPress installation and Intense Debate. Admin panel integration, where you can moderate and reply to Intense Debate comments from your WordPress admin panel using their custom moderation page that looks and feels exactly like the WordPress page. Search engine optimization. Now, Intense Debate outputs the standard WordPress comments, enabling your comments to still be indexed by search engines that ignore JavaScript. Trackbacks. Trackbacks and pinbacks automatically be synced to your Intense Debate account. Profile sync. You can create an account and log into Intense Debate directly from WordPress. And post settings. WordPress admin settings, like closing and opening comments on a post and even changing your post titles, are automatically recognized and reflected in your Intense Debate settings. And if you visit if you go to blog.intensedebate.com, there's a post on there with a video which explains everything that the plugin has to offer. And I got to tell you, I've been against using a third party for my commenting system, and especially since WordPress 2.7 was going to have threaded comments and comment replies built in. But I've got a little story about that. But when I look at all of the features that Intense Debate has to offer, and I also look at the comment sync between the service and the blog, man, I'm telling you, I'm really close to kind of jumping ship and throwing Intense Debate on my blog.
Yeah, I don't get enough comment traffic to really warrant taking it to this kind of an extra level on the blog that I'm on. I don't know. We may consider it for the AGP blog, but definitely a lot of really great features. And I think if you're if it's something that you if you're built a lot around community and you're built a lot around ensuring that you have engagement, this is a way to really spice up the way that engagement happens with the readers and listeners of your efforts. So something definitely to take a look at. The plugin will be really good. It's good to see now when we're starting to see plugins that are all optimized for 2.7, and this is definitely looks like it's going to be one of them.
Yeah, you know, the biggest complaint I've had about using third-party systems is that, well, I'm using a third party to handle my comments and to store my comments, and I have to go through them in order to get to my comments. Well, you know, I want to stress the fact that Intense Debate has this two-way comment sync, and what it does is comments made in Intense Debate are automatically backed up to your WordPress comment system, while your existing WordPress comments are automatically imported into Intense Debate. You always have all of your comments, so uninstalling is a one-click process if you change your mind. That means you can uninstall Intense Debate at a later time, and you won't lose any of the comments that were made through that system. And when you think of that and all of the features on top of that, you know, it just seems like a sweet deal. And, yeah, as Andrew points out in the comments. It's pretty similar to Disqus. But Disqus is a competing product, and we can't talk about them here on the show. I'm only kidding. We could talk about them.
We'll talk
about them. Yeah. So we've got, well, you know, we got Andrew on the line right now. And you want to talk Disqus, Andrew? Why don't you tell us about Disqus in your own words? You know, do you see, you know, automatic owning Intense Debate and Intense Debate being fully supported by the automatic guys and WordPress, you know, just being opened up to using Intense Debate? I mean, how does it feel to use Disqus now? Do you feel like you're using a little guy, or do you not mind? Will you switch?
I won't switch just because I've started using that one, and I think if Intense Debate had been ready when I switched like a month ago, then I would have used that instead. And I think, you know, just simply because of the attachment with Automatic, that, you know, that's gonna be the one that takes off. Having said that, I mean, Disqus is more established. There's more people using it at the moment. Certainly most of the features, you know, the things like the comment sync, you know, already there and already work. Whereas I've had one comment on Twitter today telling me that actually the import didn't work properly. And it only brought through kind of one comment per commenter.
Well, you start hearing stories like that, and that makes the whole idea of using a third-party comment system, if it's not doing the syncing correctly, that kind of makes it a scary thing to do.
Yeah, that's where it gets a little frightening. The things to keep in mind, though, it is still in beta. The release has just happened in the last couple of days, so I think we'll see. We're going to see problems with it. I none of this stuff ever goes perfect the first time through. Does look like there are people that have had it work successfully, so there could be, you know, plug-in conflicts. I think is probably one of the most common things with a system like this, where it's you know, something fairly complex.
Yeah, I mean, there could be any number of kind of other commenting systems installed before that could have an influence on it. I think, but I mean, to be honest, most of all, I think the key thing with Intense Debate really is that it gives kind of people an easy way out from the upgrade to 2.7. You know, if they don't want to upgrade their theme, or they don't want to go to their theme and change it, then they can simply install that, and you know, they've already got the benefits without the difficulty.
No, you bring up some good points, and I've been, as you've known on my, if anyone's been paying attention to my Twitter account, they'll see that I have an extreme disgust for the way my comments look after I upgraded my comments.php file to include the features of WordPress 2.7 threaded comments. And it's just, well, here's what I did over the weekend. I didn't have a compatible, my theme wasn't compatible with 2.7 and threaded comments and replying to comments and what have you. So what I did was went over to AutoDestruct's blog, where he made a post called WordPress Comment Enhancements, and I kind of went through the walkthrough and created my own comments.php file. I did that, and I noticed that a lot of the things on my comment form were rearranged, were messed up. I had the avatar showing here and the comment metadata showing here. And it was very, very difficult for me to kind of rearrange things and move things around to the point where I had it looking the way I wanted. I couldn't figure it out. And I guess apparently with this whole threaded comment system, they've added like 6 million CSS classes that you'd have to configure in the plugin. It seems to me like they've added it just seems like in the old comments.php file, I was able to move div elements around. I was able to move different, you know, like the comment metadata, I can move up here, or I can move the gravatar down here and shove it over to the right. Seems like I can't do that. I mean, I'm having like comment metadata being pulled into my comment form in 2.7, and I look at my comments.php file, and there's no div class that's asking for the metadata to be displayed. And it seems like there's been a bunch of things that have been put into just that WP list comments function, and I've just been having one heck of a time trying to get things styled to the way I want, and I don't know, I might have to go back to the old way.
Part of that may be that you just need to wait till you actually have 2.7 installed to put those changes in. You know, the way that the theme is built today, it may have, there just may be some interference with the way that the current comments features work.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it just, I have 2.7 installed, beta 2.
You are running 2.7 on that site?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 2.7 beta 2. I went through and I made the changes. It just looks terrible on my theme. And as Andrew said, you know, maybe if I don't want to go through that whole mess, maybe I'll just be better off using Intense Debate.
I think one of the things they've done in 2.7 to make the transition much easier for kind of people and themers is that they've really created a comment template and put it in one of the core files, and that's what that kind of new list comments thing is calling. You know, all of the things that were in, that you had to actually put into the theme before are now part of a standard template. And if you don't want the standard template, or you're using a theme that was wildly different to that before, then you're going to have a lot of work to do to update it. Override it, but it's not easy for someone who doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, so someone I know, people on Twitter, and Ian Stewart was talking about this on Twitter the other day, that he was going to do something that is called a callback function. Do you have any ideas with regards to what a callback function is? I mean, is that what you would do to override the way the comments are displayed?
Yeah, I think you basically need to either put it in the theme file so that it calls your function instead of the comments function. There's probably a few different ways to do it, and I imagine there'll be a few different tutorials springing up over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I was just, because I've been told about callback functions, and I'm like, well, what's a callback function? I don't know how to do that, but yeah, so I don't know. I might go back to the old comments and use a plugin. I don't know what I'm going to do. I might just have to wait till 2.7 final is out and see if there's any documentation that's written up on the codecs just for threaded comments.
Well, I think you'll see one or two blog posts at least explaining how to, you know, reorganize things, because I think a lot of people are going to have the same issue as you're having. Just most people are going to wait till it's actually released.
Now, Mark, you've been pretty quiet here. You got anything to chime in with regards to comments, either using Intense Debate, or have you used the 2.7.2 beta and tested out the threaded comments feature?
Yeah, I like the threaded comments. In fact, for a long time, I was using, if you've ever seen the plugin, Brian's Nested Comments.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the first plugins I used when I was looking for threaded comments. But let me tell you, that was almost as equally difficult to rearrange and configure as the 2.7 threaded comments.
Yeah, it was a beast. I did a lot of tweaking to it, so I kind of got used to its complexity, but I've been a fan of the threaded comment system for quite a while. It makes following a particular thread of conversation a lot easier. And I have a similar opinion to yours about the third-party commenting systems. I like the idea of, for lack of a better word, owning my own comments. So with Intense Debate, mirroring them back to WordPress, I think that's a huge draw. So I would have to, I'm one of those people that don't have a blog with a lot of comments. It's not meant to be that sort of blogs. But if I were to try and make a push that way, I'd have to look at Intense Debate and ask myself, how do I benefit from this? I mean, what's the difference if I use built-in threaded comments or use Intense Debate? And I guess one of the obvious answers would be a little bit easier use for end users who already have an Intense Debate account. So if you want to control comments by making people sign up first, and maybe that's takes a little burden off the user, especially if they have something like a OpenID account or something. So I'm in kind of the middle of the road on it right now. It's still not quite appealing enough for me to add it. Then again, I'm a developer, so I typically don't get intimidated by complexity of stuff. But I look at it like a challenge and something to do on a Saturday.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, No, I was really excited, and there's a lot of people out there who are excited about Threaded Commons coming to 2.7 as part of the native feature set. But, I mean, until it gets to the point where end users can configure it around to the way where it looks best on their theme and their blog, you know, I'm just going to skip it. I'm going to pass it until I can figure it out. But our next story is a little something called Click and Drag in Plain English. Now, I came across this video that John Colbert of Techlizer.com, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it, but he produced a great screencast that explains how to create the collapsible and movable option boxes within the WordPress 2.7 Write New Page and Post Screens. The tutorial starts off by creating a W plugin, which you then add functions to, which give it the draggable, collapsible options within the administration panel. And for those of you who don't want to know the technical term, this is what you would refer to as an add underscore meta underscore box function. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have had the chance to watch the video, but, I mean, I haven't really dove in much in with regards to figuring out what an add meta box is and whatnot, but this video kind of explained it in plain English. I mean, I understood everything he said.
Yeah, it's actually a really good video. There aren't a lot of sort of development tutorials out there that are this clear. You can really sort of just watch along, sort of follow along as he's actually building this thing. And if you were to, you know, pause it and go at the same speed that he does, you can actually, you know, follow along all the different steps and implement this on your site at the same time.
And I just thought it was really cool to actually see something. It was just better for me to see him do it, type in the code, he explains what the code does, and then he goes into his admin panel and you see, you know, to me, dragging something around, I think about that and I said, boy, that must be kind of hard to kind of add that code in, to code that up to make it drag and drop and show the option boxes. But it was just a matter of adding a couple functions and boom, it was right there.
Yeah, it's not too difficult at all. I mean, you're watching him do it in real time. So, I mean, he does this whole entire thing in about 7 minutes. So it doesn't take long to add, and it's just all you need is a copy of WordPress and a text editor to make it happen. So
who's this tutorial for? Well, it's mainly for those aspiring plugin authors as well as for those who would like to add this type of functionality to their own plugin. Now, Andrew, you obviously have a development background. I'm not sure if you've been able to watch this video or not, but do you have any kind of additions or... You know, you could probably explain how easy it is to do add meta boxes for plugins, huh?
It's very easy, but I think the video really sums it up pretty well, to be honest with you.
And what about you, Mark?
I'm just about halfway through the video right now, and I agree. I mean, he's showing step by step. It's if you've never done it before and you don't have access to a video like this, you might be scratching your head for a while and doing a whole lot of tracing around in code just to figure out how it's done. But I think the video is excellent for developers. I did something similar with WordPress is moved away from prototype over to jQuery in terms of JavaScript functionality, and jQuery is really cool, and I wound up doing something similar to what he's doing in his video, writing my own jQuery so you could drag stuff around on a form and reorganize it, not for the post screen, but for a particular set of functionality, configuring a plugin, ordering things that would appear on the screen that are generated by the plugin. But anybody who's a developer out there ought to have a look at this video. Bookmark it, because sooner or later you might want to do something like this and save you a heck of a lot of time.
Now, I had proposed a question at the end of the post about, you know, how cool would it be to see videos like this explaining a particular function and how to use it in real time, well, watch it in real time, how to use it and apply it to your own theme or plugin or your code. Seeing these kind of screencasts in the codecs, I know WordPress.com and Automatic, as we've seen within the past couple of months, they've been making more use out of using screencasts, and I think Matt mentioned or hinted to the fact that there could be at some time down the road screencasts added to the codecs. But I mean, do you think that would add to the codecs' you know, ability to help out people learning how to use a function, or would it, you know, would text just be better? I actually just think adding the video to complement the text that's already there in a codex is probably would be the best combination.
I think the text has to be there, but adding in a video to go alongside of it is going to go a long way, particularly for people who are new to plugin development. And I mean, I'm a big fan of screencasts myself. It's the kind of you know, tutorial that it helps people who are visual learners and audio learners at the same time. It's the kind of you know, tutorial that reaches out to a lot of people very, very quickly. They are more difficult to produce than just, you know, writing it up. But it's definitely something that I think I would love to see in, you know, for me personally, that's the kind of thing that makes learning easy for me, being able to watch somebody actually do it.
To me, I just finished watching the video, and I think you're right. This the only real added value here, having a video as opposed to just straight text in a codex, is the visual aspect. Some people actually like to see it, and that way they don't have to write the code, put it into action, and then go look at it on their own test blog or whatever. So, but I mean, from a developer standpoint, if you're comfortable with PHP and you're familiar enough with WordPress, then a couple of code snippets in the codex is all you really need. Then you're just ready to go get it done.
Yeah, I mean, at some point in the future, I wouldn't mind having somebody write a post saying, this is how you do this, and this is how you configure this function, this is how you can plug it in. And then they go to the codex, they find a video or screencast on that. You know, obviously, I don't think you need a screencast for everything, maybe just some of the more complicated functions that require or have a lot of parameters that you can configure. But it'd be nice to kind of go there, grab the embed code and slap it on your blog, and through everybody throughout the WordPress community kind of sharing that video and embedding it, maybe that will get more and more people within the community to learn in that way, to kind of contribute in code and give back to the WordPress project. You guys are speechless.
Be helpful for some people. You know, especially if you want to take the time to make a video and throw it out there on the codex, man, it helps a lot of people. You know, they're, like you said, either visually oriented in learning or new.
Yeah. So anybody out there, you're kind of interested in what we're talking about? This is a video I published. I embedded the video on weblogtoolscollection.com. So be sure to check that out and watch the video and let us know what you think in the comments. But I wanted to kind of highlight another post that was written by Nathan Rice, who has appeared on the show at one point in the past. But he has written you could call this the definitive guide to sticky post. Now, you know, you think of sticky post and you figure, well, you click a checkbox to say if you want this post to be sticky or not, and it's, you know, that's that. But you look at this post by Nathan Rice, and he just, I didn't know so much could be written about the feature. So he, with regards to the feature, he says, let's see.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of sort of other little nuances that come along with sticky posts. You know, like you say, up front, it's, you know, where do I want to stick this post? I just want to stick it on the front page. But there's a lot of... there's a lot of just things to keep in mind. I mean, he's got a little example here with the quick edit for the sticky posts, which does allow you to do things like adding the tags, and allows you to also manage, you know, the sticky posts and stuff. So you can even, you need to put a little notice on the top of your blog or something from the quick edit. That's
okay, this guide tells you how to turn a post into a sticky post, how to style a sticky post, how to use the brand new post_class template tag that will give a class of sticky to any post that has been made into a sticky post, getting rid of stickies completely. You know, maybe you're running a blog that is a multi-author blog. Maybe you don't want your authors creating sticky posts because, well, maybe you just don't want that to happen. That just doesn't sound good. So, I mean, it's just an insane guide that covers just about all facets of how you can use the sticky post feature in WordPress.
Yeah,
this
it's
a really good guide.
Yeah, it is really, it's really comprehensive and really complete. You know, the styling one, I think, is one that most people sort of take for granted. But being able to, you know, being able to use the sticky feature, I mean, maybe you want to use it for some sort of alert or notice. You know, maybe for Jeffro's blog, he wants to add a sticky post to the site that he can sort of turn on and turn off at will that says, hey, recording WordPress Weekly, here's the link, come on over and join the fun. That's, you know, just an example of, you know, where a post could be made from private to public and stored as a sticky and turned on and turned off at will.
Right. You know, sticky post gives, you know, end users the ability to, you know, it's not as extensive as probably a featured post plugin or a theme that has an area where you can set five posts to go through like a random order to see a featured post. But what it does, it just gives you the chance to highlight one post, feature one post, and it'll stick to the top of your blog entry, and there you go. I don't know if I'm going to be using it or not, probably every now and then, depending on, you know, the type of content I write. But do you guys have any sort of ideas on how you would use sticky posts? Do you think it's something you'll use often?
Me personally, I would look at it, if you need to make an announcement or you know for sure you're going to have downtime, like, for example, your hosting company might shoot you an email today and say, hey, our link's going to be down for massive bandwidth upgrades, so expect your site to be down 12 hours or whatever. Throw a message out there for that so that those who happen to stop by before the site goes down, at least they know what's up. You know, things like that. Or maybe you run a particular type of site where you want to make sure people are aware of something as they come to use your site as a new user. That there's no way to, anything you want to put out there that you don't want someone to overlook, I think it's a great, great way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's something that I'd use. I'm not entirely sure about the concept as a whole, to be honest. Just because it seems to me a little bit as though kind of the whole concept of a post is that, you know, it is, you know, it does kind of disappear as time goes on, and it kind of seems there's more appropriate ways to put a permanent message on a site or even a temporary message.
Yeah, I think it's a case of really how comfortable you are in making those other changes. For the ability for, you know, I've been working on a side project with a curling club here in the Lower Mainland, and to the people that are going to be maintaining that website are not technical people in any way, shape, or form. They're not even that comfortable trying to, you know, to anything other than the actually using the UI. So for them to put a message up, an example for them is they've got they've got an event coming up, and they want to have, you know, signups. So it's originally goes out as a post on their blog, on the front page of their site saying, here, this event is coming up, you know, here's all the details, you know, you can comment on it, whatever. But they don't want that to go away for 2 or 3 weeks. They want that to sort of stay up near the top of the news. There may be other things that happen, but they want that one to be sort of the thing that stays front and center in people's minds when they hit the site for 3 or 4 weeks. And then that event is no longer, that event comes and goes, and they have, you know, other things coming, so they don't need it at that point. So they could, you know, sticky and unsticky that post so that it stays front and center in people's minds for a few weeks at least, and then they can undo it at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it seems easier to me just to kind of have a bit of kind of if a page with this slug exists, then put it here. Otherwise, don't.
Boy, don't you sound like a coder?
Well, I mean, if you're writing a theme, then, you know, you've got a choice between all of this kind of nice code that Nathan's put together here to do what you want, or, you know, or something else. They seem fairly equivalent to me, I think. but
yeah,
you know,
I think they are fairly equivalent. I think where it'll change is because I don't think I'm trying to remember if the theme actually has to support stickies, or if this is something that's done as part of the main loop, the main post loop, where it'll always keep it on top. I'm trying to remember if that's there is actually a theme change involved to make the stickies show up.
Well, I think it does go into the loop. But
so it'll always
want,
show up as the first.
If you want to, if you want to hide it, or if there's more than one, then it starts to have problems counting them. But I think it does actually go into the loop normally.
Yeah. So in that case, where you're looking at people who have zero technical inclination, this option will allow them to have that feature without having to adjust the theme, without having to go look for a plugin.
Well, I think what we need to do is unstick ourselves from this topic and move on. And so we're going to talk about the WordPress Optimization Guide, which was written by Mr. Vladimir Prilovac, who is, he's one of the premier guys that's working in the WordPress community. I mean, some of his plugins are just awesome, like WordPress, the Insights plugin. Oh, man, I love that thing. But he's written a guide on Prilovac.com. And what it is, it's a collection of useful tips and tutorials on how to speed up your WordPress site. And he says, if you've ever experienced a slow WordPress administration panel, MySQL server has gone away message, page is taking forever to load, or you just want to prepare your site for a major increase in traffic, for example, dig front page, then he's created this guide just for you. And I wanted to make a special note that, obviously, whatever he's doing is working, because this article made the front page of Dig. It's got 572 digs. And he says that the site survived a Dig Delicious Mix front pages on the 12th of November. So obviously whatever he's doing, which I'm guessing is most of the things in his guide, it's obviously working. So I'm just wondering if any of you guys had a chance to check out the guide, and is there anything on here that kind of screams out at you, or anything on here that you didn't think of that you're planning on implementing on your own site?
For me, the items about the theme, the plugin, and more the database tables. Database, from my experience, just in general, database makes up a lot of today's web-based applications. The time it takes to run database queries and that sort of thing is a lot more significant than the amount of time that the actual page loads in most cases. I mean, if you have a lot of large images and media files and stuff like that, that's going to slow down your page performance. But if you a lot of the WordPress pages and some themes even will display on the bottom how long the actual database queries took to run when the page loaded, and you'll see that in a lot of cases the database calls make up 70-80% of the page load time.
Now it's interesting that number 3 on his optimization guide says check the plugins. Plugins are usually the prime suspect for slowdowns, and with so many WordPress plugins around, chances you might have installed a plugin which does not use the resources for an optimum way, and he gives a couple of examples, and he says to check the plugins, deactivate all of them and check the critical areas of the site again. If everything runs okay, re-enable the plugins one by one until you find the problematic plugin. But I wanted to bring this up because I was using, I'd say, 13 to 15 different plugins on jeffro2.0.com, and I kind of got used to how the back end of WordPress was loading, and sometimes I thought it was slow. Then I did a reformat of my WordPress installation, and after I reinstalled WordPress, imported my content, and at this point I only had Hello Dolly and Akismet installed, the back end was loading like lightning fast, and I said, this is really funny. I'm almost tempted not to install any plugins just so I can have the speed.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference, and the more plugins you have, the slower it gets. Just because any plugin that say is hooked into the loop is going to have to run when the loop runs. So if you have a whole bunch of plugins that modify the way a post displays, every single post needs to call that plugin.
I think
but
that's what
have,
my problem was.
Got,
I had a number of plugins right there in that post loop.
Yeah. So if you've got if you got 10 plugins that will modify the way a post is displayed, and you have 15 plugins on your home or 15 posts displaying on your homepage, that means that those plugin methods are going to get called a total of 150 times.
Ooh.
So if you got each of the 10 gets called 15 times. So it's 150 calls to plugins when your homepage loads. So things like, I was just trying to remember if he added this in here, but you know, decreasing the number of posts that show up on your homepage, it will also help to speed that up.
And
yeah,
you're going to say something there, Mark?
Yeah, a problem I see repeatedly with plugins that I get a hold of is that I have a habit of looking at their code, and a lot of people that write plugins don't really think about it from a broad enough perspective, and they wind up dumping everything into one file. And for example, if you've got a complicated configuration interface, all that code doesn't need to be loaded unless you're in the admin panel. It doesn't need to be loaded when someone's just viewing the front end of the blog as a reader. So plugin authors could do a better job of structuring their code so that admin interface is in a separate file that only gets loaded if the admin interface is actually being used, and things of that nature. You know, the more complex the plugin, the more important it is to break things out into separate files and only load them when they're needed. So
I'm actually making a note of that right now for my next revision.
It makes a big difference on load time, because PHP and Apache are loading less code, so there's less bits and bytes in a file to have to be read in. It's using less memory, and it's making everything run faster as a whole. And so the other thing, just cruising through this list here, he says optimize your database tables. That's a pretty good idea. And then he talks about item 7.
Before you move on, I wanna interject here. And when he says optimize your database tables, I have a web host where I can go in through cPanel and I go to MySQL databases, and then I go into phpMyAdmin I think it's through cPanel. I go into MySQL databases. I can check that out right now. This is a live radio show, folks, and thank goodness my web host is on top of its game, at least for this week. So I go into MySQL databases, and there is a option here that says repair, check, and delete. I'm not sure if check or repair is the same thing as optimize, but what does that mean to optimize?
It's not the same.
Well, check, it actually is not. When you check or repair a table in terms of MySQL internally, it's looking to see if there's any damage or anything's out of sync. And so it will try and repair that. For example, you might have been right in the middle of writing something to the table when the whole server crashed and the write was incomplete. Now you've got a trash table because the file wasn't closed correctly. Everything's out of whack. So when you do a repair, MySQL will try and restructure that table to get it back how it should be in terms of sheer file structure. You might lose some data in the process, but that's usually just a consequence of having a server crash to begin with. Now, when you optimize a table, what happens is whenever you delete rows from a database, for example, say you have 1,000 posts and one day you decide to go and delete 50 of them for whatever reason. Okay, so internally, MySQL will keep track of those deleted rows in a linked list internally to the server. And when you add a new row, then or a new post, MySQL will try and reuse some of those old row positions. So it's kind of like recycling space in the table. So when you optimize the table, it kind of, for lack of a better term, compresses all that down so there's no linked list of old rows anymore. So it can make things run more effectively. If you've got small tables, you know, if you don't have a blog with like 15,000 posts, then it's not going to make that much of a difference. But overall, in the grand scheme of things, every little bit helps. So
yeah. People
even
familiar
optimizing
with
tables, yeah, even yeah. Optimizing tables with 100 or so posts, if you've constantly added and deleted from them, you know, it can be a big help.
Yeah, I was going to say, people familiar with the way Windows works, this is very similar to a defrag. of your
hardware. Yeah, I was thinking of that. I was thinking of defragging exactly how he was, you know, how he was describing the MySQL. I mean, I thought of defragging because you've got, you know, if you delete a file and then you start writing or reading, you know, within that same space on the hard drive, you know, bits start get out of alignment and everything. So if you do a defrag, everything's kind of put back in the line and optimized.
Yeah, and if people remember way, way back in the old days, before it was called defrag, it was actually called optimize.
So, and this, when we talk about this optimization, this is the area where I go into phpMyAdmin, I select my database, I select all of the tables, and then there's a drop-down box that says, you know, one of the options is to optimize table. Is that what he's talking about there?
Yeah, while we've been talking, I've installed the plugin. I'm looking at it right now, and it's got a whole bunch of different options.
That's actually a query statement in MySQL. So if you're a developer, you can just do it yourself by writing a little script. If you don't have phpMyAdmin, it's just basically the query is just optimized table and table name, and you shoot it over to the database, and it optimizes it, and you're done. It's just one very simple SQL statement.
Okay, now
so
before
even,
we move on.
You can even write a plugin for that.
Before we move on, I wanted to mention that Caspers has joined us here in the chat room, and he says that there's a new plugin for checking the performance of your blog, and it's called WP Tuner. And he has a link to that in the chat room, which you can find on the WordPress.org plugin repository. Look for WP Tuner, and he says that it was released only today, but the information it provides is fantastic. So anybody who's looking into maybe optimizing their blog or checking out the performance of it might want to give that plugin a try. Now, Keith, you said you installed a plugin. Which one are you talking about?
The one from the post. The one that we've been talking about.
Oh.
That's the one I've actually been looking at the WPDB manager as we've been talking.
Okay. I didn't see that in there.
Oh, yeah, it's actually in the article, in number 5 there.
Okay, what are some of the options in DB Manager then?
There's only one option around Optimize, and that is it's just an automatic running of this one, the one SQL statement that Mark is talking about, and that's being able to sort of execute that. You just basically select which tables you want to run it on. By default, it selects them all, and you can just hit run the optimization, and it'll run it against your server. Because it is just using the built-in optimization function, that's kind of what I was looking for. I was trying to decide whether it was doing something other than running that built-in optimization function. For people who have access to their server, it would almost be better to run this as some sort of a scheduled cron job or something on the server. But that's kind of beyond the scope of the article.
Yeah. So we've boy with these
You picked some good ones this week.
Yeah, we've everyone's going to need to get a drink of water here soon. We're talking so much. But we do have one story this week before we move on to the other segments of the show. This one's going to be a quickie, and I just love this website.
So, huh?
I love the domain, wprecipes.com. It's just a fun name, and the purpose behind the site is that it's just quick and easy bits of code and explains how to do things just with a simple block of code. And this one, this article I picked out on WP Recipes kind of explains how to display automatically the post you published exactly 1 year ago. And so if you go to the post on wprecipes.com, and this will also be in the show notes, he just gives you the block of code that you would need to add, and it will, wherever you place this, will display the post, or at least the excerpt of the post that had been published at least 1 year ago. So I just thought it was kind of cool because maybe you could set up a little block in your post content area, and every day you can highlight articles from the past.
Yeah, and that's exactly what this does. It just gives you it gives you a title and an excerpt of the post that was published exactly 1 year ago today. So,
you know, it's funny. You know, I can see myself using this and seeing articles every day come through and then saying, I don't remember writing that. I wrote about this, you know, 1 year ago, and I go and check it out, and I'm reading stuff from 1 year ago and always learning about what was hot back then is cold now.
Yeah, it's interesting how your blog becomes your diary in some ways.
Oh, yeah. Andrew or Mark, did you happen to catch this on WPRecipes.com. I mean, what do you think about the little hacks like this to
I think
kind
it's
of show...
pretty useful. It's the first time I've heard of it. I'm just looking at it right now. It's really pretty neat.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen this site before at all, WP Recipes, so this is actually going into my feed reader right now.
I mean, it almost, it like, the purpose of the site is it cuts through all the fat and just gives you what you need, the meat. It says, here's the code, this is what it does, this is what you could do with it, and bada bing, bada boom, you know? You just get things done. I just think that's pretty cool.
It is very cool.
So that's WPRecipes.com. Wanted to quickly cover that, and that will be included in the show notes. That's going to wrap it up for the stories this week. Wow, did we have a lot to say. And that's going to lead us into the plugin picks of the week, and I'm going to go first, and mine is called WP Advanced Code Editor. This plugin integrates the Easy Area Advanced Code Editor into WordPress. This adds real-time syntax highlighting, line numbering, full screen editing, and more to the code editor to the add new post and add new page screens. After installation, make sure that the WYSIWYG, that is the visual text editor in WordPress, is disabled. WP Advanced Code Editor is not compatible with the WYSIWYG editor, but is any code editor compatible with the visual editor? No. Usually anything code-wise is not compatible with the visual editor. Anyways, the entire syntax code editor, which is called Easy Area, was written entirely by Christoph Dulevit. And what John Colbert did was basically package it up and put it into WordPress. So I've seen people asking for plugins and whatnot that has a highlighter for when they write code. And, you know, this one might be what you're looking for.
Yeah, this looks like a really good plugin.
So with that, I'll hand it off to Keith, and he can kind of tell us what he has found this week.
All right. And for this week, I haven't actually gone hunting for a new plugin. I've gone over to my blog and looked through some of the plugins that I use that are sort of my critical pieces of my infrastructure. And this one this week is one that I can't live without, and it's Ultimate Google Analytics. So Ultimate Google Analytics allows you to use the Google Analytics metric service as opposed to using the WordPress.com one, but it manages all of the code for you, so you don't have to actually drop the little code tracking code into your the page tracking code into your blog anywhere. It'll insert that onto each page for you. But it also does a few other things, and not the least of which is it actually monitors who's logged into the website. So if you're logged into your blog, it will automatically remove that tracking so that you're not tracking all your own traffic. So you can, you know, peruse your site all you want, and you're not going to affect your own stats. And for me, that was one of the biggest features for me, was being able to eliminate myself. Particularly in the early days of my blog, when I was really mucking around with, you know, different sites and settings and bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine just starting out and you get the stats package and it says you had 10,000 hits today, and you look 9, at who they came from, and yeah, 9,000 are from your IP address.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I wanted to avoid. So being able to use the Ultimate GA plugin and it does other things. You can also disable it on the fly, so the plugin can stay enabled, but you can disable the tracker. You can ignore yourself, enable or disable the Google Analytics tracking of admin pages. So if you have a whole bunch of users to your blog and you want to see who's, you know, really active in going and helping and moderate comments and all that kind of thing, this will help you. You can actually track the admin pages as well. And there's also debugging information and all sorts of other things. Ability to track external links, ability to track download links, ability to track files other than just the web pages, so you can actually track downloads of, you know, MP3s and PDFs and all that kind of thing.
Okay.
And mail. So,
does this add the information to your WordPress database, or is this pulling from an outside source?
The analytics information is all mastered by Google. none of the information is actually logged on your site. So when you are using Google Analytics, it actually just drops a chunk of JavaScript into your page, and then that JavaScript loads metrics information to Google as pages are loaded on your site.
Okay, that's one of the first lessons I learned when using a statistical plugin for WordPress. When I first started using WordPress, I used a statistics plugin that logged in everybody that was browsing to my site, and I could see what they were browsing and looking at in real time. And unbeknownst to me, the information I was looking at, which was being updated all the time, was being stored in a database. And one of the tables for that plugin, when I realized what was going on, ended up being 20 megs in size, that table.
Yeah, stats plugins are huge. I mean, there's so much data, and to be able to slice and dice everything the way that you want to, all the different ways that you want to see it. Anybody who's used Google Analytics, you can see your data parsed and sliced and diced more ways than I can even count off the top of my head right now. And the data warehousing that they would have to do to track all that stuff is, I don't even want to think about it. It's huge. I mean, in a given day, an average site that maybe gets, 200 or 300 visitors would probably garner close to a meg in stats a day, easily.
Yeah, it's the last thing you need when you want to export and import your database. The less megs, the better.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thankfully we can skip tables on those exports and imports.
Yep. So that's going to take us right...
Where is this plugin at?
Sorry?
Where's the plugin at?
We'll have a link in the show notes. I'm just trying to remember. I'll paste a link in the chat right now.
Or transplant.nl/UGA/.
Yeah.
But Keith will post a link to that in the chat room for those that are here and listening. But that's going to take us right into the feedback segment of the show. And, hey, if you've got any feedback, whether it be questions, rants, corrections, anything of that sort, we encourage you to send them to our spiffy brand new email address that I created this week at wpweekly@gmail.com. So we're cool and we're upbeat now because we have a Gmail account. Or you can simply leave us a comment on the blog, and who knows, it may be featured in next week's show. Speaking of comments, Stephen Cronin on the last episode left us a comment, and he says, he's also the creator of the feed entry header WordPress plugin that Keith featured on episode 28. He left a comment expressing thanks, and he tells us that WordPress Weekly has been a regular feature on his train commute soundtrack. He also lets us know that he found out, now this is a funny story, he found out that his plugin was featured on the show through a site that scrapes the content from weblawtoolscollection.com, and it's sort of funny when you think about it because the plugin that was featured was kind of a way to prevent that, but that's the way Steven found out. It's just when you think about his plugin, what it does, and how Steven found out about it, how his plugin was featured on a scraper site, it's a funny story.
Yeah, it's funny because that's precisely, like you say, that's the kind of thing that we're trying to, you want to try and prevent with that is the, well, what you want to prevent the anonymous scraping.
Right, now, right. You want to prevent the people who are scraping and not providing, the case in this instance, the person that was scraping weblawtoolscollection.com scraped everything and left the links intact. So at least we're getting click-throughs.
At least you're getting the click-throughs. But it's funny because I've just noticed this week that I've got of the most recent 5 trackbacks to my blog, 3 of them
are from scrapers. I mean, I thought it was great to be linked and discussed on Mashable.com, but when I did, I noticed I had like 20 pingbacks or trackbacks from scrapers of Mashable.
Yeah, exactly.
But so that's interesting.
Bloody blogs.
Yeah, doggone blogs. Now, we did have a listener question, and the listener question is this. I'm planning to set up a new site for a very nebulous movement, namely science fiction fandom, and would like to use WordPress for it. I'm wondering what tips you might have about plugins and whatnot to set up a site centered around a core of editors but would let readers send in drafts, preferably without requiring readers to register or learn much about WordPress. Basically, it would be a bit like Slashdot, but without having to install slash code. Do you have any thoughts about this? And this came from I want to say Bjorn Lindstrom from rainy Sweden.
It would be Bjorn.
Bjorn. All right, Bjorn. Oh, I see the little accent there above the O. So Bjorn Lindstrom from rainy Sweden. There we go. But now when he says let readers send in drafts, the first thing I thought of, because I've actually done this on my site a long time ago, but there's a plugin out there called TDO Mini Forms. Not forums like Keith read into earlier, but forms. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But what this allows you to do is create a set of forms that people on your blog can access, and there's a little content area, and you can even provide the category in which they're writing to. And they can click submit, and this is how they can actually submit stories to you. And it's up to you whether or not to publish the draft or not. And I think that's pretty much, you know, solves the problem of what he was looking for.
Yeah, there's another plugin that I was looking at. It's called Role Manager. And this basically allows you to customize on the fly what functions within WordPress each role has, including the user level and all that kind of thing from the admin panel. So whether they have the ability to, you know, delete pages and delete, create, edit, update, delete, whatever types of content. And it's, you know, including plugins and pages and posts. And I'm just looking for a drafts thing. There's the huge, huge list of functions. I can't see it off the top of my head, but there it is. So there's an option to actually disable the ability to publish posts. So they can create a post, but they can't publish it, which would allow them to essentially create a draft.
Now, your solution is much to the problem is much simpler than this one, because this plugin TDO Mini Forms, I'm looking at it, says it requires WordPress version 2.5 or higher, compatible up to 2.6.2, and what it does, it can optionally use a Kismet to check if submissions are spam. The mini forms can also be used to create outside-the-box uses for WordPress, such as contact managers, ad managers, collaborate image sites, etc. And I'm looking at the update here, and it says version 0.2.5 includes integration with the ReCAPTCHA CAPTCHA service, integration with the Subscribe to Plugins 2.1 plugin, which allows submitters to subscribe to follow-up comments automatically, a comments management widget, which allows you to set comments and ping status for forums and allows users to choose if they want to follow comments, excerpt widget, and even more bug fixes. I mean, this is just the TDO mini forums. It's just a packed house full of features, man. So I definitely say give that a shot, and you want to give out the plugin that you mentioned again, Keith?
It's called Role Manager, and we'll have the link for that one in the show notes.
All right. So thank you.
It's a long URL.
Yeah. So if anybody has questions like this or feedback, send them in to us, and we'll do our best to kind of get you an answer there, just like Bjorn. And with that, we're going to send it over to Keith. And Keith, give us this week's job of the week.
All right. So this week's job of the week is for a pop culture blog called 9daves.com, which is based out of the Flatiron District in New York. So they're hosted with Yahoo, and they're running a WordPress blog since July of this year. And they've had the same WordPress version since they moved up. So they're wanting to upgrade their WordPress version. They're a little nervous about that. Despite all the detailed how-tos and things like that. So if you're interested in showing, not just doing the upgrade, but actually showing someone how to do the WordPress upgrade for the very first time, they're hoping to find someone in the area that can meet them in person and give them a bit of a tutorial. If not in person is not available, they can they're happy to attempt a WebEx and a phone call. So send an email to 9daves@gmail.com.
All right, and it's kind of interesting because John B. from Memphis is here in the chat room, and he was kind of lenient on upgrading to 2.7. He was kind of scared, and he wanted to know if somebody in here can kind of help him upgrade. And it was funny because it reminded me of this week's job of the week. So, but I see some people like Vertigo and some of the others have been helping him out here in the chat room. Thank you very much, guys, for participating. And, you know, speaking of shout-outs, let's go down the line here. We've got Casper's in the chat room. He's also from across the pond. Guest number 7, if you want to tell me who you are, I'll be sure to mention it. We got MK Web, Vertigo X, John B. from Memphis. Jacob Santos was here earlier. Kyle Rush, a number of various guests. Brian M., Brad Williams, who used to co-host with me back in the day. Thank you, Brad, for stopping by the show tonight. June M., of course, we've got Mark E. on the phone, and Nadia. So we have pretty much a packed house here tonight. So thank you guys for stopping by and being part of the show and keeping Keith and I and the rest of us company. So, okay, so John B. was talking about upgrading to 2.6.3, not, well, you haven't even upgraded to 2.6.3. What's the matter with you, man? Get that upgraded. So with that, we do have an announcement about Lisa Sabin-Wilson. She's the author of the WordPress for Dummies book, and she's scheduled to appear on November 28th. And that would be November 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be talking about WordPress for Dummies, the second edition, about what it's like to write a book for a piece of software that moves at about 100 miles an hour, and much more. She also does a lot of design work, so we'll probably talk to her about design topics as well. And with that, that's pretty much going to conclude this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. We'll be back here same day, same time. You can catch me at jeffo2.0.com. You can also catch the show notes and links to everything we've talked about, including the plugins and the job of the week, at weblogtoolscollection.com. Keith, where can we find you at during the week?
During the week, you can find my sparsely populated blog at kdmurray.net and with the Aussie Geek Podcast at aussiegeekpodcast.com.
All right. And Andrew, you want to give a plug for yourself?
So many to choose from.
Well, you got to pick one.
Oh, all right. I suppose
you might get the WordPress Weekly effect. We'll bring down your site, so only pick one.
Okay, great. In that case, just Google Fun with Habari.
Doggone you, why did you do that? You son of a gun. We almost, this is the last time I have you plug something on the show.
I
hear you laughing, Andrew. Doggone it. Yeah, I'm going to have to edit this show. This will be the first one I edit. But, okay, I'm not repeating that. You'll have to rewind that and listen to it again. But do we have Mark, do you want to give a plug out for anything you're doing?
Yeah, I guess. If anybody needs help with WordPress, I do development, tweaks, installs, upgrades, fix stuff other people break, and just basically overall mechanic for WordPress, WordPress MU, BB Press. And easiest way to find me is go to simplercomputing.net and fill out the contact form. And I am around way too much of the day, probably 12, 14 hours a day I'm around. So if you got an emergency or not an emergency, just need help, let me know.
Okie dokie. And we can catch you at wpsecrets.net, right?
That is a site to be launched in the future. I'm actually simpler.
That's still a WP secret, Jeff.
Did I just tell you? Simpler. Yeah, yeah. I just told your WP secret to everybody.
No, yeah. You didn't let the cat out of the bag. I mean, the domain's sitting there, and it's got WordPress loaded on it. But that's a project that I'm working on, and I'll let you guys know what it's all about when I get to that point. But right now, I just operate out of simplercomputing.net.
All right, sounds good. Thank you guys for joining us here tonight. And until next week, I hope everybody has a great and safe weekend.